Welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch movies everyone has seen but us and then talk about them. And today it's the 10th, so we're watching a movie that I have not seen and Ashley has picked it. And we are watching This is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, I figured we would continue our rock theme after we watch Hedwig.
This theme is going to end next week.
Right. Yeah, I'm a lot more badass than you are.
No, I wouldn't say you're just more, you have seen more musical movies than I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're watching This is Spinal Tap, and I thought that it was just Spinal Tap. Until I saw the title on Netflix, and I was like, wonder if this is the same one? Oh, it is.
No, it's called This is Spinal Tap. It came out in 1984. It's directed by Rob Reiner.
What else has he directed?
Oh, everything.
I doubt it.
Princess Bride?
Oh, that's where I know him from. You said everything. I was like...
Oh, but he's been in so much. On the Family. He's done a ton of stuff. Family? Yeah.
Okay,
he's Carl Reiner's son.
Oh, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was Leo's dad. And Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, okay. You know, I found out today Nathan Fillion was in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Why does everyone know this but me? All right, never mind. Back to Spinal Tap.
So it's directed by Rob Reiner. And so this is a Christopher Guest movie. This is one of the first Christopher Guest movies.
He's an actor in it?
Well, yeah. He's an actor and he kind of comes up with the ideas that he's Nigel Tufnel. And this. But, like, a Christopher Guest movie is, like, Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman.
I've seen none of those.
Oh, my God! We have to watch all of them. So, basically, what a Christopher Guest film is, like, he has a crew that he always works with.
Oh.
And it's mainly improvised. So, he creates, like, he and Michael McKean and Rob Reiner.
They all are the writers.
But that's just because of Writers Guild rules. They kind of come up with, like, a structure that is mainly improvised.
I mean, with all improvised movies, like, you have a basic thread of where it's gonna go. You just don't have dialogue and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. But I think he's been trying to work on getting it changed. Because, like, I think on Best in Show or something, he was like, Catherine O'Hara deserved, like, a writing credit or something.
Oh, okay.
But, yes. So, this is one of the first mockumentaries. He mainly does mockumentaries, which is, like...
Okay.
So this is parodying...
Okay, because all I knew was I just assumed it was a comedy. Because it's you, and it's about a rock band. And that's literally all I know. So it's a mockumentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Okay.
It's better if you think it's real.
Okay.
But since then, Spinal Tap has, like, performed as a group. They just did the... Some big concert.
Actors perform as Spinal Tap? That's amazing!
And then they have another movie called Mighty Wind, I think, is what it's called.
Okay.
It's about folk music, and in it, the same guys in this play, like, a folk band.
Oh.
And apparently they used to open as the folk band when Spinal Tap went on tour, so they'd open as the folk band and get booed off the stage and then run around and then come out as Spinal Tap. Apparently.
All right. But I'm sure this will mean much more after I've seen the film.
Yes. But a couple years... But they have been... They, like, reunited a couple years ago and performed at, like, Wembley and stuff. And did, like, one-nighters. Yeah.
Okay, well, because I know a lot of people have told me I should see this one.
It is a classic film. It's a classic.
Americans and British people have told me that I should see this one.
It's amazing.
Okay.
So, I really like this film. I think it's hilarious. Yeah. So you know nothing about this film.
I know. I'm assuming it's a comedy and rock music.
So if I were to say it goes up to 11, you have no idea what that's from.
No, I'm assuming now this is Spinal Tap.
But like, you've never seen that clip before?
No.
Wow, that's a really famous clip. I'm very surprised that you haven't seen that. Like, it's on all the best, like, top 10 quotes and lines and stuff.
I've heard it before, but I couldn't tell you what it's from. But that is also a thing where I see someone's face and I'm like, I know that face and couldn't tell you the name. You know, this is also a thing I have with titles.
Right, but
that is part of it. But also, I've never heard of anything that's specifically like, oh, that's Spinal Tap. I've just heard like, oh yeah, that's a movie I should see.
Interesting. Yep.
There's one tagline.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to read it? Because I feel like you have the rock and roll voice more than me.
I know, my throat hurts. I'm gonna go.
Well, but it's now it's raspy though. You see, so it lends itself to this.
I'm gonna get a run up. Okay. This is Spinal Tap does for rock and roll what the Sound of Music did for Hills.
I was gonna try to do a bling like your guitar thing, and then I was like, oh, I can't make that noise. But I did, readers, I did half of the motion, and then was like, oh, this is a terrible idea. Okay, let's watch Spinal Tap.
Right.
Hey, note from the hosts here. This is a movie that we do not think that you should listen to us before you see. Right?
Yeah, it's just a weird wording.
Listen, okay, fine. This is outboard in a different way. We think that this is a movie that you should watch before you listen to this podcast. So this is our official disclaimer.
Yeah.
Like, watch the movie!
Dude, like, seriously. If you haven't seen this film before, please go watch this film. It's on Netflix Instant. I will give
Ashley
you a password.
Ashley has the Blu-ray. She can mail it to you.
I will mail you a Blu-ray.
DM us.
Oh my god. But if you haven't seen this film and you don't know anything about it, watch
yeah,
it.
Don't,
you will enjoy it 10,000 times more
goodness,
than
yeah.
listening to us.
If you're like me and have never seen this and don't know anything about it, please do not listen to us and be like, oh, I've seen Spinal Tap now. That's not how this is going to go down. You
nope.
should watch it.
Watch it.
All right.
And then let us know if you like it or not.
Yeah. Okay. On with the show. Let's go talk about it.
Bye-bye.
And we're back. This was funny.
I am really surprised.
Okay.
I had bets going that you would not appreciate
no,
this.
No, I liked it. I just well, it's because they were all very British.
They're all and American. don't know. You don't know. No, Debbie. No. They're all American, Debbie! Derek Smalls is on The Simpsons!
I don't know who any of those people are! Oh my god! Alright, newsflash, they're not British. Oh my god, are you serious? Is no one in the cast British?
Maybe Ian, I think, might be.
Oh my god!
The manager, but the boys are American.
I'm gonna have to cut this bit out.
Wait, I think, let me, no, because this is hilarious.
Oh my god.
Christopher Guest?
But it was all, like, that type of humor.
Yeah, they're all U.S. born.
Okay, but it is, like, British humor, though, right? Or am I just being like, these are things that I find funny that I'm lumping under an umbrella?
I don't really understand when people say British humor. I think it's funny.
I thought it meant one thing, but apparently most of the things I think are funny, I'm like, oh, that fits under this category. But since all these jokers are American, I'm not even sure what's up anymore. All right. Well, okay. Well, I didn't like that they were all British because they're all American. But I thought it was funny. I thought it was genuinely funny. There was a couple things that I wrote down that I'm like, just okay. When at the very end over the credits where he's like, this is my exact internal structure, and he's gesturing to the t-shirt, I thought that was funny. You're still laughing at me because I'm just going to keep talking
right,
over
wait.
You.
Hold on. Okay. So,
I feel like a moron.
No.
Oh my
no.
gosh.
But no. Okay, so, dear readers, I would like to preface this in two ways. One, the movie started, and they
I thought it was real, and you told me it was a mockumentary, and I just had to make sure, because I read the description on IMDb, and both of them were like, a documentary, and I was just like, what? Like,
so,
I thought this was a comedy!
Right, so we're not sure it's real, and now, do you want to...
A long couple of
I was
going
to say, should we stop here? I don't think there's more we can talk about.
No, we got to keep going.
You're disillusioned now.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so...
Okay.
Basically...
It is a mockumentary following this rock band...
Called Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap on their North American tour. They are not... Their final tour, which is in North America. And they're, like, they're not successful anymore.
I mean, they are, but, like, not to what they once were.
Yeah.
And it's also, I'd say, more of a heavy metal band. Like,
yeah, okay.
Kind of like Twisted Sister.
That's, can we talk about this just because I know very little about music genres that I find the whole concept...
I'm not an expert.
Well, okay, fine, then we won't talk about it, but I just kind of wanted to voice something. As I find the whole concept of, like, the rock genre very interesting,
yes,
because there are so many subsets of it. And when I was watching this, it made me think, I was like, I also find it very interesting that everyone considers, like, rock a stereotypical masculine, like, very manly genre. When I'm, like, watching it, I'm like, when I think of rock, I think of, like, the tight pants, long hair, and, like, the makeup and stuff like that. And if you look at it, I'm like, visually, this is not the stereotypical, like, masculine thing.
Right.
But it's, like, whenever it's, like, oh, the man's man in the movies, he listens to classic rock and stuff. And I've just always found that very, very interesting, how it's just, like, it just, in terms of, like, stereotypes, it doesn't match! And I'm like, and then there are all the other rock genres, like glam rock and things like that, and then, like, the heavy metal thing, and I'm like, I don't understand people when they talk about rock music, because it means so many things to me,
yeah,
who knows nothing about music genres. And I don't know, I've just always found that concept very interesting and still know nothing about it. But, yeah, that's my rant on that. Sorry, you can continue. You think they're more heavy metal?
Well, I think glam rock is what they are. Kind of that,
yeah,
like...
kind of.
I don't know. I think because they parody, like... So this band is... The main dudes in the band are David St. Hubbins and Nigel Tufnel.
Yeah.
And they've just been, like, best friends and just wanted to make it in the music video... music business. So they just change with every era.
They were
so,
the Beatles, and they were that 70s thing.
Yeah, so it was kind of like they were the, oh, what was the first? It was like the Tamesmen, and then they were like, so they've just been different bands. Like,
yeah.
Kind of starting with the Beatles, and then going into like that hippie, like, mamas and papas thing.
Which did make me think of, oh my goodness, the 50s through the 80s? Man, what a ride that 30 years was. A lot has changed then. Yeah, that's all I had to say about that. I was kind of like, man, wish I could have witnessed that.
But that's kind of like, so I feel like they don't really fall in a genre. They just fall into, like, their song, like, Big Bottom Girls is
Queen.
It's Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like every song, like Stonehenge is kind of like, you know, those, like, bands that
yeah.
are like.
I did, because I did pick up on a couple of songs where I was, like, identifying, like, oh, they're being this band
right.
now. Like, yeah. So, I guess they are. And then, because when they were doing, like, oh, we should paint our faces with the yin and the yang, like, that was Kiss. Right?
I mean, I think
Kiss was around.
Well, I think Kiss is the most popular one about painting faces, but there were a ton of bands
yeah,
that were doing that,
true.
Like, that I might not just be well known to me.
Like we said, we don't know a lot about rock music.
We are not experts.
No.
Let's just finish what the summary is.
Oh,
so this
yeah,
is
yeah,
just
yeah.
what they're going on tour. This is their final tour. And Marty, who is played by Rob Reiner, who's the actual director of the film,
mm-hmm.
is following them along.
Yeah.
So it is a documentary crew that's following them on their last tour.
Yeah. I thought it opens up with the director of both the films kind of introducing it, and just in terms of what I thought was funny, one of the things that I thought was the funniest was in the background when there's, like, all this stuff set up behind him, and one of the things, there's, like, you know, like, all these lights and C-stands and stuff all set up around him, and then there's just, like, seven ladders all set up stacked in height behind him, and I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but I was still, like, chuckling about that just, like, later in the film, but I just had to recognize it was, like, that was funny.
Also, the guys of Spinal Tap did press releases after this movie came out, saying that Marty, the director,
yeah.
like, ridiculed them, and, like, this wasn't, getting lost to the stage was the most embarrassing thing.
I was reading through, the, like, fun facts on IMDb, and apparently a couple of famous rockers and musicians watched this and were like, this is real.
No, this is totally real.
So it made, one of them was Ozzy Osbourne, and I was like, apparently. So says IMDb, so take it with a grain of salt. But I thought, I was like, that makes me feel better about not knowing if it was real or not. Because I wasn't the only one.
But no, like, so many of these, like, it's real.
Yeah.
I think we've all been in those situations. We all know these
people. I have a question for you. Which is sadder? Hedwig's one woman show up by the porta potties, or the military base performance where Nigel walked away?
Sadder?
Yes.
That's the adjective that you're
which
using?
Which is more sad?
Hmm. I think it's hard.
Ooh, right?
That's a hard question.
It is.
Because I want to say my first reaction was Hedwig. Yeah. But then the more I think about it, she actually made a connection with one person.
Yeah.
And she actually talked to one person.
And everyone in the military base hated them.
Right, but the thing is, I think that's more embarrassing than it is sad, because they continued to play on. It wasn't like, it was only a realization to Nigel that it wasn't worth being in the band anymore. The rest of them kept playing. They kept doing the gig. Yeah. And then they went to the next one. So it's like, they don't recognize it. It was just a bad gig.
It's more of just, well, okay. I felt more sad for Spinal Tap than I did for Hedwig. Because at least the one person at her show really loved her.
See, I felt sadder for Hedwig because all Hedwig wants is attention.
Mmm.
And the fact that only one person listened to her.
Interesting. It's a classic case of quality over quantity.
Right.
I don't
know. Or not recognizing what you want. Because I don't think Hedwig would have seen it like that.
That's true. And I don't think Spinal Tap really knows what they want.
No. They just I don't think they know where they are.
No! Well, like, that one guy, the blondie. What's his name?
David.
David. Said where he was like, I would feel a lot more sad about this if I wasn't so heavily sedated. I was like, right on, man.
Right on. I want that on a t-shirt.
Yep. This adult is handling his problems with class and dignity.
I will say, I took maybe half a page of notes, and they're all just reminders to myself.
I have 2 pages of notes, which is also less than normal, but it's all just things that were just jokes that I'm like, ha, and then I wrote down the first half of the joke so I could remember that I thought that it was funny. I thought it was really funny in the butt song when they call him Mudflaps, because it reminded me of the Amy Schumer sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Also, just, I really liked how the host in their parties, Bobby?
Yeah.
Had a ribbon that said host. And I was like, we gotta get you one of those, Ashley.
But the thing about those parties is, it's like, you know, they're required, you know, so she has to wear something that says host. And she's having it at a hotel. So she has to make everyone aware. Let's jump to the big scene.
Okay.
These go to 11. I asked you in the intro.
I didn't, if I knew where that was from.
Yes.
Wasn't expecting it to be from an amp. I did think it was really funny when he was just like, yeah, they go one louder. I was like, God bless. That's not what those mean.
Right, but that's like, I will say that I think that is the most famous scene in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Like, these go to 11, like, that's, like...
Yeah.
Everyone says it. IMDb is... This movie's ranked out of 11.
I did notice that it was ranked out of 11. I did notice that.
Like, these go to 11, I think, is one of the most famous lines from this film.
Okay.
I found it interesting that you've never heard of it.
Everyone has always told me I need to see Spinal Tap, and no one has ever told me one singular thing about it.
Wow.
Which, honestly, was kind of frustrating, because I'm like, why do I need to see this movie? And it's like, everyone's just like, you're gonna love it. And I did love it. And it's like, everyone who has told me this has at that, like, it wasn't ever, like, the first conversation we've had, so they've known me a little bit, and it's like... But just tell me, like, someone tell me what it's about. But yeah, no one has ever quoted it to me. No one has ever made a reference to it. Everyone has just like, oh my God, can't believe you haven't seen it. You would really love it. You're not wrong, but just a little more. Well, you know what, though? Because the last couple ones that I have not seen, I've been watching with very, very little context
for
what I'm about to see. And I'm kind of really enjoying that.
Yeah.
So I kind of really liked that I went into this with next to zero knowledge.
That's really interesting. I kind of feel like if you could go into this film not knowing anything, you would just be like, these guys are so stupid. Like,
well, I still thought that.
Right, no, but I love that, like, see, I went into it, like, I mean, I saw this movie so long ago because it was in everyone's top 10. So it was, like, everyone's top 10 list was, like, top 10 comedies. Spinal Tap. These are the clips.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I love Christopher Guest. I think he's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, like, I like him. I know his
work. You always do a lot more research before watching movies than I do. I've noticed this. Because you're always like, well, I like this because I need this person, and I knew he wrote this and this and this.
That's
and
because I have
these lists.
That's because I have an obsessive I have an obsessive personality.
Okay.
And when I find out something, okay, this is getting really deep, but when I find out something I like, I want, if I really enjoy it, I want to find out everything I can about it. Mm-hmm. And then that means I find out what influenced it. And then from the influences, then I go back.
See, I do that as well, but not to the extent that you do, because then I get, not distracted, but it's like, I always, the things I stumble upon, or just I hear someone say, oh, you should watch this. I'm like, ah, okay. Oh, I like that. What else has he done? This one? Oh, but then he also did this. It's like, I have a lot more spiderwebby train of watching stuff.
No, see, I somehow go back.
You are
like,
very linear in your watching.
All
you
the
pick
way
a
to
track
the Goonies.
That house closed. The Goonies.
No. The Goonies, the comedy group.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about, like, the Goonies movie. I was like, that was a jump, but did you hear that the Goonies house closed?
I've never seen the Goonies.
You know what? I haven't seen it all the way through either, so that should be one of the ones we watched that both of us haven't seen. Okay. I wrote down in here, because I thought you might ask who my favorite band member is and who my favorite character is.
Okay, so...
Were you going to ask
me
this?
Well, I was going to ask you...
I think you're also going to ask me, who do I find the most attractive? These three questions I was anticipating.
I was going to ask you, out of all the gentlemen, who would hang on your wall? So what poster would you have?
Okay.
But I will ask all of those questions.
Okay, I was like...
But I phrased the one of...
Because I was like, she's going to ask me who I like the best, but then... Like, we're gonna talk about
who their attractiveness.
Yeah, their attractiveness. Just because, well, because also when you're watching Hedwig, when I was like, oh, they look dirty, you're like,
damn! You said damp.
I said damp. But the thing is, in Spinal Tap, these gentlemen were not damp. They were kind of dirty, but they weren't ever damp.
That's
and
because
so
it's
I was
a different
like,
kind of music.
That's
it's
the
a
thing.
Because
I was you're like, man, you're really gonna hate Spinal Tap. And I was like, no, I much prefer this. This is much better.
I much like the giant cold sores on their face.
That was disgusting. I did see that. But
well, apparently there's a deleted scene where they all sleep with the same girl. That's why
oh,
all
really?
Of them have.
Okay, I was wondering, I was like, is this just a joke where you have to look for it to notice it, or is this a cutscene?
No, it's a cutscene where apparently I think I have it on my Blu-ray.
Oh man.
Where apparently they all sleep with the same woman, and
that's
then
funny.
The cold sore goes from one to the other, and there's like a scene where they're like,
because that's how cold sores work,
isn't it?
No, but in the same location.
Oh,
was it in the same location?
No,
oh,
it
was wasn't.
Just like,
was it?
They were like looking.
Okay, but I thought just aesthetic wise, I like Nigel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite band member then?
My favorite band member is the bassist, because that guy
Derek
just
Smalls.
Seems so just, like, even keel, middle of the road, he's along for the ride, and now let's make the best of it. Now we have time for other projects, and I just gotta say, I would watch the crap out of Saucy Jack. Like, when they were saying, like, oh yeah, that musical, I was like, yes! It has a title? Yes!
Find a ticket now.
Make the musical. We got a sequel, and it's going to be called Saucy Jack. I was just like, that's a gentleman. Indiegogo. Fundraising.
You've
been
sitting on that since 1984.
Yep. It's, you know, the long joke.
So,
But my favorite character.
Oh, okay.
My favorite character was that stagehand in the yellow t-shirt running out during their sets.
That stagehand is possibly to use a flamethrower to get
Derek
Smalls.
Oh my god, that is dedication
the cause, Ashley. That man, and he was always wearing the same outfit, too. Like, that's his, the yellow t-shirt and the red hat. That is, like, his uniform. That's his roadie uniform.
I think that's all he owns.
That's fine.
That's fine. He's young.
We don't judge here. Yeah, man, I just thought he was hilarious. When he was like, oh, when he was trying to lift Nigel up.
That's the thing. I kind of forgot that they are 40 years old.
Yeah.
And, like, I always thought that they were younger. And, like, watching it again, I was like, oh, this is dealing with, like, aging. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, I kind of miss this as a larger theme. It's kind of like, you know, aging and music. Like, how do you keep doing what you're doing? Are you meant to evolve, or?
And then they're like, what should we change? And
right.
Then, so they're like, oh, well, let's revive the past. And then that didn't work. And I thought that was interesting as well.
Yeah, like, I sometimes forget that it's a larger, there are larger themes at work.
Yeah.
But I forgot, and so when his back went out, I was like, oh, yeah, they are old. Yes. Because, like, oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, my gosh. Not that 40's old.
No. But, like, to be jumping around in the leather pants.
To,
like,
be doing back bends. It's right. A little, best not.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do a back bend. I know my limitations.
I've been trying.
While playing a guitar?
No.
Oh, well, see, I think that adds
in. Okay, that's true. That another element of difficulty,
right.
Yes. Apparently, on the trivia, it's all the actors are playing. Like, they're all actual musicians. That's very impressive. They were good.
I don't know about... Yeah.
What?
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know about the drummer and the keyboardist, but then
true.
I was like, I can't back that up with
well,
anything.
Well, I'm going to say, there was definitely a couple of shots where I'm like, that keyboardist is not playing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, let's just say the three people who had guitars.
But I also wasn't sure, there were a couple times where, like, the music didn't match what they were singing. If
no.
It wasn't just, like, oh, this is a cool clip.
Yeah, I think what IMDb actually said was, like, on the recording, it's the actors. So it's like, ah, okay.
Well, they like, play reunion gigs every once in a while.
Yeah.
Still getting out there, they're, like, 60 now.
Which, like, man, that's gotta be fun.
It's gotta be so much fun.
That's gotta be great.
It's just, like... You know, I mean, this came out in 1984.
Yeah.
So it's...
And it was set in 82, which I kind of kept forgetting.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize. So it's, like, you know, more than 30 years old. And just to be able to be like, yeah, we're just going to sell out Wembley. And, like...
Done!
Just,
that's
I think
impressive.
That's where they played. I can't remember where they played. But I know they did a reunion gig in London, because... much like when Python did their reunion, I did look at Play Tickets. I was like, that would be so awesome!
Gosh. Wouldn't that, though? And then it sold out so quickly.
Yeah.
The Python one. I can't speak for Spinal Tap. What else? Okay. What are some of the larger themes that, when you mentioned the aging and the music industry, did you have anything else in mind in terms of larger themes?
No, it was really just the aging. That, I thought was, interesting the umpteenth time I've watched it. I don't know why I didn't notice it before, or maybe I wasn't watching it critically. I was just like,
well, because it seemed like they hadn't really changed anything in their band up until that point, you know, in terms of, like, it seemed like they had always done things because they thought it was cool, instead of, like, oh, we need to improve upon ourselves.
Well, that's the thing, like, they do never seem, like, Nigel and David never seem to have, like, a pure vision.
No.
It's always just, like, they like music, what's popular, oh, let's write a song like that.
Yeah.
And then they write a song like that.
That's true.
But I do think they have the most fun as Spinal Tap.
Yeah. I mean, they did not look they were having fun in that weird 70s thing.
The listen to the what the flower
well,
people
say. They also were all high or whatever.
Yeah.
They, you know.
Listen.
The mushroom drugs or something. But
the mushroom drugs or something. Do you think that Nigel is only in the band because David can play this kind of music? Or David wants to be in this band?
Yes and no. Because I can see an argument for both. Because I can see, like, he obviously missed David. And only came back out onto the stage when David was like, come on out again. You know, because he is his friend. And David's the one who is, like, has a weird wife. So it's like, Nigel clearly seems to, like, value their friendship more and have that as a larger reason for him staying in the band than David does. But also, I think Nigel genuinely does enjoy music.
Yeah.
Because, like, as much as, you know, when he was playing that song on the piano,
Lick My Love Pump.
Yes. He was spouting a bunch of BS. But, like, it is apparently a song that he has written and enjoys playing, and it is a very different genre than Spinal Tap. So I think he does genuinely enjoy music and performing. And then he has fun doing that in the band with his friend. So, kind of yes and no.
See, this time I watched it, it looked like, because I didn't realize that Nigel is the better musician.
Yeah.
Like, he could play the piano,
because when they were going through the set list after he left, yeah. They were like, well, we have, what, a cozy 10 minutes.
Right. And it's like, someone put, you know, like, Handel in the middle, or like Bach, like classical music in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Which before Tenacious D did, by the way. But.
Okay.
So, I thought that was really interesting. So it's like, I kind of got it this time that it was like, oh, maybe he's just like really likes this. Like, he could succeed as a solo artist very
That's
well.
True. He could. Because it seems like he's the one who actually writes everything.
Yeah. I mean, they write together, but like, he's the one that could actually, like, he could pull it off.
Yeah. Like, he could be a solo artist. Yeah. And it's like, he could also clearly write for other things.
Yeah.
You know, he could be a composer for stuff. Just like, over the credits, the director was asking the band members, like, what would you do if you weren't in Spinal Tap? And then he starts saying, like, I could maybe freelance sell products. I was like, you could. Let's try to narrow that down, Nigel.
Well, he said he'd like to work at a haberdashery.
Yes. Oh, I did think it was interesting when they were talking the running joke of the album artwork. Just because no one said, when it's like, oh, it's all black, the first thing I thought of was, oh, they're gonna say that it's like a black censor bar. Because they're too explicit, even beyond the cover. So they've censored the entire image. And no one said that. And I was like, Mr. Manager, sir, this is exactly what you should have told them. It's that it was the album cover they originally wanted. It just got censored. And you go with that. See, that's good marketing, I think. It would have made them happy.
I think there is a scene on the Blu-ray, which I own, but we didn't watch.
No, because the TV died.
Broke.
So we're watching on my Mac.
Which is...
You know what? Apple and... Who does Blu-rays? Sony?
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, just please be friends and make one product.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking. It is far too complicated to watch Blu-rays on Max.
Yeah. So the TV broke, so we haven't had time to put it back together.
Yeah.
Or buy a new one.
Like, we could fix a TV.
Like, it's in parts on our floor.
Yeah.
So I think there's a scene on the Blu-ray. Well, I feel like there is, unless this is another one of, like, weird, vivid dreams that I have. Where in the record store, they're trying to sign the record.
Oh!
But they... It's black.
I desperately wanted a scene like that, too, when they were in the record store, like, signing. And I got excited, because I was like, it's a black album, and I bet they only have black Sharpies. And then it didn't...
It's either a weird common thing that both of us are like, oh, we imagine this, or I imagine this, or it's, I think it's on the Blu-ray, but that scene gave me, like, sperm palpitations, or just like
when they're in the empty record store.
Yeah, and like they sign with the silver, or they don't have a silver Sharpie. Mm. So ever since then, I do carry a black Sharpie and a silver Sharpie because one of them is black. And I don't know why I do that, but I'm still like, oh, if I'm going to see a signing, like, maybe I should put both in my bag.
Well,
like,
yeah, that's the thing. If I'm gonna go to an autographing or a signing or something, one, I always bring my own markers, just in case. And then two, one is always silver and one is always black. Because what if it's black? Oh, man, this says something about us, I think. Whatever.
And I also wanted to be that person who would be like, here, let me fix it.
Yeah. Well, because that's when I would be on sets. I would always have Sharpies and multiple colors of dry erase markers on me. Just, and I was that PA a couple of times who saved the day. So I was like, ha! Anywho, always prepared.
Always prepared. So getting lost on the way to the stage.
Oh my god, that was so funny.
That was possibly one of the realest things I've ever seen.
That was hilarious. Because, like, I've been there.
Been there, done that.
I've only even done musical theater, like, in high school. For 3 years of my high school career was I doing musical theater, and I have been there. But you,
who I went on stage tour.
Manager on tour, like, oh my gosh. I just, like, no, I love.
I definitely got lost on the way.
When that guy is giving them directions, he's like, you know, go down a hallway and turn right again. There's a bit of a jog. Then the door that says authorized personnel only, open up that. And that is, I thought that was hilarious for multiple reasons, but most recently because of working at conventions when you're like, excuse me, what does this door say? It says no entry. Uh-huh. Then why is it open? Like, that was just fun. You see the door that says no? Yes, open that one.
But as he was saying, he's like, you are authorized. You got instruments.
Like, that's only turn around. You went the wrong way.
Took a wrong turn.
I was like, oh.
That was.
And then because they were trying to keep their energy up the whole time. And that's actually happened to me during volleyball games in high school. Because in some of the locker rooms were like so far away from the gym. And we would just be like, do a cheer thing or whatever and get hyped. We would always run around to the Imperial March from Star Wars. So like, man, we were pumped. And then sometimes we would like get locked out of the gym or things like that, but then we would have to go through a whole routine again. It was so I liked it on multiple levels.
So I will say, and then I have a question for you.
Okay.
Nigel's guitar faces are possibly one of my favorite things ever.
I never understand. I've never been that into playing an instrument or doing any activity that my face just contorts itself into like, wah!
That it's just so, like, oh, I loved it. It's just so making fun of those guys who are just like, mm.
What was
like,
with the guitar when and the violin? Sorry. I need to be a little more specific, I realize.
There's, like,
I was like, I know this has got to be in reference to something, but I just don't know what it was. I did think it was very funny when he tuned the violin before strumming the guitar again, though.
Yes. I do know it's, like, some classic, some guitar player, maybe Pete Townshend?
Okay.
Did
he play his guitar with the violin? Or did he play a violin as a guitar?
No, he played it with a bow, I think.
That makes a lot more sense.
Jimmy Page, I think. My phone just died.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Page, maybe?
Okay.
But I know I have seen a guitar. I know it's, like, on those, like, VH1, like, oh, craziest, like, guitar things.
Oh, okay.
I know that I saw someone playing the guitar and, like, either picking up, a violin bow and, like, playing the bow or something.
Yeah.
Just like that, you know.
Okay.
Just like
I was just curious because I was like, man, this has got to be some pop culture reference that I just don't know. What else did you want to?
So I would like to know what your if there was a favorite line that you had, or if and
yeah,
if what your favorite scene was. And what? But before I you answer those questions, I would like to say something.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of comedy. I think we can say that. I'm a huge fan of comedy movies. The one thing I particularly enjoy about Spinal Tap is it is a film. It has a linear plot. It is not, and that is kind of my, it doesn't annoy me, but like sometimes there'll be something that like tries to sustain a full idea, and it's sketches. It's just a series of sketches to get you to the final thing, and Spinal Tap doesn't feel like that. It feels like every scene is setting up the next scene.
Yeah, it does. I was thinking about this as well. Let's talk about this a little bit, because I feel that a lot of movies that are mostly improv do fall into that, where it's they can maintain an arc for a scene, and then, okay, moving on to the next one. But this did not feel like that. This was a full story arc, and that is so impressive. And maybe it's because of the mockumentary format.
Yeah, but it's like there's callbacks. Like there's little callbacks to other scenes, and it does flow really well. And
I wonder, did they shoot this in sequence?
I think so.
Because that would then they could build upon what they already had.
Yeah. But I find it so interesting that it's just it's hard to say like, oh, this is a really cool scene. Mm-hmm. It's more like, oh no, like I like that.
You like that joke.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's not even, like, it's not, like, most of the mockumentary styles or, you know, kind of those improv-y movies where it's like, okay, we gotta get to the joke. It's like, at times, they're like, it's serious. Like, Drummer sometimes.
Yeah, that was funny.
Or, you know, it's not like you can ever see anyone. I mean, I think it's very telling that you think that they're all real. And that you think that they're all British. The fact that there's never a moment where you see their eyes twinkle in a way that's like, I'm going to show you what I can do.
Even in all the stuff over the credits, and this was very clearly things that didn't make the cut into the film. They were still so in character the entire time that I find that very impressive.
That's like, it feels like a real film. And that is, I think that's the reason that I keep watching.
They're all real movies.
Well,
it feels scripted.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, so I think that's the reason I go back to Spinal Tap a little bit more, is that it's like, if I want to watch a full feature film, or if I want to watch something that's telling, because each character has an arc.
Yeah,
it's
they
like,
do.
Nigel and David, like, come to...
I'm very curious about their writing process, because they did write something, you know, there was a script. I think in IMDb it said that like the script they wrote, if they had just shot it, would have amounted to like 20 minutes or something, which makes sense. But I, you know how Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg, when they show like we drew the thing, I really want to see their writing process, because I'm sure that they ended up drawing something.
Yeah,
you know, like they, I feel like you would have to for this. And I like, man, did they keep their notebooks? Because if they made this into one of those books that was all, like, the scans and things like that, I would buy the crap out of that. And if it already exists, like, I haven't been on the internet and researched this, but, like, gosh, I hope it does.
Right.
You know? Because that would be a fascinating to read.
I think this film feels different, and I think that's why Christopher Guest is just such a unique filmmaker. And why, in some of his new stuff, you can say what you will about it, but, like, Waiting for Guffman, I think, is on par with this one.
I've never heard of Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a very theater film. It's all...
Okay, I was like, I think that's it, because a lot of the films that you're like, oh my gosh, are more theater ones, I've just noticed. But that's your background.
Yeah.
My...
I was listening
favorite
to rock music.
Line was when they're trying... When the hotel is over, when they mix up the reservation at the hotel, and he says, how are we supposed to fit 14 people into one king-size bed? And the concierge goes, don't tempt me, sir. I was like, ha!
I did just hear that line on this one, and I was like, oh.
So that was by far my favorite line, because at this point I had asked Ashley, and she was like, it's improv, and I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, good one. That was by far my favorite line. But there was a lot of jokes I liked. I liked them getting lost on the way to the stage. I liked just the increasingly, like, the stagehand guy just doing all those weird things. I like the reactions that everyone had when they finally noticed the documentary crew, or, like, air quotes, finally noticed, because I like seeing whenever a new person was, just because I have been filming stuff, and you see all the range of reactions of people who are like, oh, don't, even when they know they're gonna be on camera, like, don't worry, I'll be cool, who are then just, like, staring straight down the barrel the entire time, like, do you have the deer in the headlights, do you have the people who are like, I'm gonna play it cool, and, oh my, who's this, oh, like, I wish I had known, and it's like, oh, stop, I just saw you touching up your makeup around the corner, and then you have the people who are literally like, what, never mind, and I can't even be bothered, so it's like, I really like seeing all the characters react to the cameras being there.
Interesting.
What did you like?
Probably my favorite line is when Marty at the beginning is introducing the film and he's like, I love Spinal Tap. He's like, love their punctuality. It's just the idea of a rock band showing up on time. Yeah. Just, of course he would, like, it just really makes me laugh that that would be the thing that he loved the most. Yeah. And just the concept of them showing up on time just really made me laugh.
You know what, though? That would endear someone to me. Where it's like, you consistently show up to a gig on time? Bless you.
But yeah, like, you're supposed to show up to a gig on time. Ugh. It's an unwritten rule.
No.
Just like it's an unwritten rule that all, like, shows have to start 10 minutes late.
No, no, no.
Yes.
What was your favorite?
I tried to fight it.
I know it's useless, but I'm just gonna keep fighting that uphill battle.
I'm trying to fight
be
getting rid of intermissions.
Time. What was your favorite joke? Because I just remembered another one that I really loved.
My favorite joke?
Yeah. Or
what?
Like, scene joke.
Oh, I mean, I love that these go to 11. I think it's a classic. I know I shouldn't like it, but I just love, and I also love Nigel's meltdown with
that
the sandwiches.
That was good too. Yeah, that was the one I was going to mention.
Because I have legit had a conversation like that with some actors.
And I just love how he ends up folding the sandwich and making it perfectly. And then I have this. And then everyone pauses. And where it's just like, where's it going to go from here? But I don't want this. Like, oh, there it goes. It's back. Like, I thought that was funny too. And with the olives. And you have prepared...
I've done
prepared writers for people. Yeah.
Platters for numerous
I have made
people.
A craft service table before. There's always someone.
Always someone.
Who has something to say about the free food you're giving
and
them.
And I don't know if I noticed this time because I have been doing it more, but, like, all the Oreos were open.
They were!
I kind of hope that that's just what their writer is.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, all the Oreos... Any Oreo that doesn't have frosting on it has to be thrown away.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I noticed that too. I was like, that's funny.
Right. I was like, oh, I hope that's
it looked
what it
like,
is.
Honestly, though, it looked very disgusting.
Yeah, they're brighter. There's
that
stuff was
they
gross.
Had the spray cheese.
Yeah.
And Oreos look a lot less appetizing when they're already split open. Because, mm-hmm. Gross. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, well, I didn't get to answer my question I posed to you about who I like the best.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear your opinions.
Nigel, I definitely have a special role.
I thought so.
I'm not going to say what I was thinking. Good. I'm growing as a person.
Proud of you.
Thank you. I'm going to write it down, though, so I can tell you later.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I haven't grown that much.
So...
Yeah.
I don't want you to see. I would definitely put Nigel's picture on my wall. I would definitely like him.
But who's your favorite just as, like, a person of the band?
I want to say Nigel again, but I do really like Derek Smalls.
The bassist,
yeah. I really like him, but, I mean, I feel like I really like the This Goes to 11 scene, and I really like the whole, like, skeleton thing. He's like...
This is my exact internal structure. That killed me.
But I also like David St. Hubbins. I don't know.
Blondie.
I find
he annoyed the crap out of me.
He annoys the crap out of me, but then he would say something that's like, his face when the Stonehenge came down was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, I don't really have a favorite character. I guess my favorite character would be the band.
Okay. Who is... Do you have... That was... Okay, who's your favorite out of the band? Do you have a favorite character overall? Is there a non-band member that you like more than the band?
I do like... I kind of like Janine.
Really?
I mean, I just feel like I gotta represent a sister. Like, I feel like she was just pissed upon so much because she was just a girl. I mean, mind you, she went about it the wrong way.
She was a moron.
Well, that too. But, you know, it's like, she tried.
She did. My problem with her was that she was just...
She tried in the wrong ways.
She tried in the wrong ways, and she kind of seems like a control freak.
Yeah, no, she definitely was, like, one of those, like...
And also, her ideas...
Oh, no, they were terrible.
Bad. Like, yeah. She was... I would have been supportive of her if the band had been awesome under her leadership.
Right, but they weren't.
Man, she was terrible at that job.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't really have a favorite character. I do like Ian, but, like, he kind of annoys me.
I like that he had the cricket bat all the time.
The cricket bat was freaking hilarious.
I like when he was saying, oh, it comes in useful, and all the flashbacks, he's just in an empty hotel room with, like, five people sitting right. down watching. It's not like even a crazy party. It's literally silence, and he's just smashing things.
Right. It's not even, like, trying to get money from, like, promoters or something.
No, it's just...
Drunken escapades.
Look at this. Bam. And everyone will, oh. Like, no one even reacts. Anyway. So let's wrap it up.
Okay, cool.
What, unless you had anything else to say. Okay. Three things that you need to know to pretend like you've seen This Is Spinal Tap.
It is completely real. All of these characters are real.
It's like, I think you should definitely know that it is a mockumentary and the whole improv thing. Because, like, that, yeah. I was like, I don't think that this is one you can really pretend that you've seen very well. I think this is one that, okay, know a couple things and then get out of that conversation.
Yeah, I think you can say this goes to 11 and then you're kind of good.
Yeah. But, let's try to think of three, just because that's what we always do. So, this is real mockumentary
yeah.
stuff. Number one goes to 11. Number two,
do you need to know the controversy surrounding it afterwards when the band, like, sued the director?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
What about the music?
Yeah.
Like...
What about it?
You'd need to know a couple of the songs. Heavy Duty is very funny.
See, I couldn't... Like, I couldn't tell you how one of the songs goes. Heavy Maybe Duty. Know that they parody rock band, like, actual rock yeah. band songs.
See, my notes for this were very limited, mm-hmm. but they were at the end it just says, download Stonehenge and buy Nigel shirt.
Yes.
I would also like to point out that I have had Nigel's hair before.
Oh boy. Okay. So
number
just
three.
Put music as number three.
Music.
Yeah. Okay.
Parody.
Yeah. So, we'll announce the next movie we're going to watch on Twitter, because we haven't decided yet, but it will be one that Ashley has not seen, so we'll go back through the list. As always, this is
You Haven't Seen!
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. As always, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. The higher you rate us, the more likely we are to show up in your search feed, so please be sure to do that. And you can also check us out on Twitter at YHS_podcast, and you can check us out on Tumblr, youhaventseen.tumblr.com.
We'll see you next time.
See you on
the 20th. And September,
oh
not November.
God. I am heavily sedated.
We'll see you on November. Oh, God damn it! We'll see you on September 20th. You know the schedule.